From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, September 25th, 2018. And on this day, are protections for Atlantic right whales working? Apparently not, according to a new report, and a new plan to grow Maine's forest economy by more than $3 billion. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
A new federal report says it is time for a new look at regulations that aim to protect the endangered North Atlantic right whale because they're not working. Fred Bever has our story.
Over the last decade, regulators required lobstermen to change their gear and reduce the overall number of trap lines in U.S. waters. But the new 30-page technical memo from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration finds that rope now in use has gotten stronger, leaving right whales more likely to face potentially deadly entanglements. The scientists also find that as lobsters seek cooler waters farther offshore, lobstermen are following them, right into likely whale travel lanes. Meanwhile, right whales are changing their patterns too, swimming longer distances to forage for increasingly unpredictable prey species. Over last year and this, 19 whales died from entanglement or ship strike, while stressed females produced only 5 calves. With 450 North Atlantic right whales now left on the planet, the NOAA scientists say that if the current pace of decline continues, the species could be past the point of no return within just a few decades. And the report says more aggressive gear changes and other regulatory action may be required to avert extinction. The findings foreshadow tough decisions coming next month. That's when a team of stakeholders will try to find compromise on gear changes, and federal regulators consider whether the Endangered Species Act requires dramatic action that could have big consequences for New England's lobster industry. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And you can find a link to the new report on our website, mainepublic.org. Nearly $3 million has been spent so far this cycle on Maine legislative and gubernatorial races by groups who are allowed to spend unlimited amounts of money. Steve Missler has our story.
The spending tracks closely with recent elections for state offices, which have become increasingly targeted by an array of national interest groups leveraging election dollars for greater say in the laws and policies that affect Maine residents. More than $1.8 million spent has come from progressive groups, supporting legislative candidates and Janet Mills, the Democrat competing in the four-way race for governor. Democratic-aligned groups account for 7 of the 8 top spenders, actively messaging with digital, direct mail, television, and radio ads. But there are signs Republican-affiliated groups are preparing to respond. The Maine Republican Party last Friday reported spending over $130,000 on television ads opposing Mills. And the day before, a group called the American Comeback Committee, a subsidiary of the Republican Governors Association, registered with the Maine Ethics Commission. The heaviest spending is yet to come. Of the $14 million that was brought in by outside groups in 2014, more than $8 million was spent in October and November. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Representatives from Maine's wood products industry today unveiled their plan to grow the state's forest economy by more than $3 billion over the next 7 years. As Mal Leary reports, the Forest Opportunity Roadmap is an ambitious plan that relies on innovation and technology.
Today, Maine's forest economy is pegged at about $8.5 billion a year. The goal of the group is to increase that to $12 billion by 2025. The plan is to maximize existing resources and add new technologies and products. Steve Schley is the retired president of Pingree Associates, one of the state's largest landowners.
Our vision is that Maine is a global leader in the forest products economy with a thriving, innovative, and diverse industry that provides good jobs in rural Maine communities.
Schley says innovation is key to maximizing the value of forest products. For example, he says a wood byproduct that is now used as fuel to fire a boiler could have a higher market value in another form. Charlotte Mace, executive director of Bio-Based Maine, says research at the University of Maine and in the private sector is helping to develop the products of the future.
We also have technologies that are at the pilot scale, that are at the demonstration scale, and that are at the commercial scale. And so as 4Maine moves forward in collaboration with the Maine Technology Institute, we're interested in all of the above.
May says the array of projects is significant and that many of the newly emerging products can be added to the lines that existing wood products plants are already producing. Jim Robbins of Robbins Lumber and Searsmont says his company is completing construction of a new plant designed to take advantage of new technologies that are either already in the pipeline or that may be developed in the future.
It's been a $36 million project, and the direct and indirect economic impact alone of just building that plant, we estimate at $21 million, which is supporting 170 full-time equivalent jobs.
Robin says he expects as new products are developed that can be spun off from that plant, the economic impact will increase. Yellow Light Brain of the Maine Development Foundation says the goal is to leverage the results of research and development of new wood-based products to attract private investment to the state. But he acknowledges that state government will have to do its part to support the infrastructure needed by the industry.
It will take a lot of public-private partnerships, and we believe some investments in transportation, in R&D, and so forth. But we know that Maine cannot afford $100 million incentive packages for businesses to move here.
Several speakers also stressed the need for access to broadband connections in the rural areas of the state where many of the wood products plants are located. They also acknowledged the need to garner political support in the state for the effort and have been meeting with legislative candidates across the state to discuss the plan. Former Pingree Associates President Steve Sly says he has also spoken with the four candidates vying for governor.
I think I can honestly say that having had those conversations with each of the candidates and their staffs, they get that. They understand that there is real opportunity here.
The roadmap has been 2 years in the making. The goals it lays out are not only to grow the woods industries, but to make sure the forests are managed sustainably to preserve them for future generations. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
A Superior Court judge has ruled that a Republican candidate for district attorney in Androscoggin, Oxford, and Franklin counties has violated several Maine bar rules, including unlawful conduct. Seth Carey will now face a hearing to consider whether any sanctions should be imposed, including possible disbarment. Susan Sharon reports.
Carey had previously received a 2-year suspension in a prior disciplinary proceeding. But his suspension was put on hold after he agreed to meet certain conditions of a 2016 consent order. Then, in March of this year, Carey was found by a district court judge to have engaged in unlawful sexual touching and domestic assault of a woman who was living in his Rumford home. She was granted a protection order against Carey, and he was again put on interim suspension. During a hearing in August, Carey's tenant testified that he had repeatedly pressured her for sex and made unwanted physical advances. Justice Thomas Warren also found evidence that Carey had violated rules of professional conduct by representing or attempting to represent clients after his suspension, and that he continued to campaign for the Republican nomination for district attorney, referring to himself as an attorney, even though he was suspended. A hearing to determine what, if any, sanctions Carey should face has not yet been scheduled. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And finally, today, the U.S. House has just passed two bills that could help some consumers pay less for prescription drugs. The bipartisan legislation, sponsored by Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins, was approved by the Senate last week. They now head to the president's desk to be signed into law. President Trump has expressed his support for their legislation. Patty White has more.
The bills would lift gag clauses that currently block pharmacists from telling customers when they can save money on prescriptions by paying out of pocket versus through their health insurance. The AARP is among several groups that support the legislation. The state director of AARP Maine, Lori Parham, says a recent member survey found drug costs are a top concern for older Mainers.
We think this is an important policy that will give consumers more information as they're making choices about prescription drug coverage and what's available.
The Journal of the American Medical Association recently published a study on the issue. Researchers examined 9.5 million claims and found that overpayments were made on more than 20% of prescriptions. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, September 25th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.